So we are the fall of Assyria, which we discussed it. I'm sorry, the fall of Israel, of Yisrael, which took place in the whatchamacallit, in chapter 17, according to most calculations, takes place around 722 BCE. And as it describes, the text tells us, "Vayhi bishnat shalosh lehoshea ben Ela melech Yisrael, malach Chizkiyahu ben Achaz melech Yehuda." So Chizkiyahu was the king in Judah. Hoshea, we're told from the chapter 17, reigned for about 9 years. So basically, a third into Hoshea's reign, Chizkiyahu becomes king. So he was king for almost 30 years, very stable. Malach Yerushalayim, v'shem imo Avi bat Zechariah. Vayasa yashar b'nei Hashem, kechol asher asa David Aviv, hu hesirat ha-bamot. He got rid of the bamot, which is very, very unique. Up until this point, what we've seen throughout Judah is that no one was able to get rid of the bamot, even the most righteous kings. They got rid of the Baal, they got rid of Avodah Zarah, they got rid of this, but the Bamot, the high places, which basically meant that everybody had their local little altar and little Mizbeach and maybe a little house of worship, even to worship Hashem, to worship Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, was still continuing against the idea of the centralization of the religion. But he is described as Hu Hesirat HaBamot, v'shiberet ha-matzevot, v'charat et ha-asherah. So he got rid of the bamot, which is an amazing action, and he destroyed the matzevot, he destroyed the asherah, v'chitat nechash ha-nechoshet asher asa Moshe, and even the nechash ha-nechoshet, even the snake that Moses had put up, which clearly they took with them from the desert into Eretz Yisrael, the snake that healed the people when they were in the desert, when they had been plagued, they had been bitten by the snake, they had turned it into an Avodah Zarah, into some sort of icon. And Moses, and Chizkiyahu, even though it was a relic, even though it went back to the time of Moses, he still destroyed it. Kiyad hayamim ayu b'nei somekatrim. Now, this is a very compact and very short presentation of the wonderful nature of Chizkiyahu. We're not studying the book of Divrei Hayamim, but we do have to, we've mentioned a couple of times that to fill in some of the background, if we want to understand what it means that Chizkiyahu was indeed such a righteous king. The Bible in Divrei Hayamim, which is highlights, of course, the Davidic dynasty. Divrei Hayamim is written during the time of Shivat Zion, during the time when Jews are returning to the land of Israel, and their wants and the desire to reestablish the Davidic dynasty in Eretz Yisrael is very, very prominent. And so the focus on the Davidic dynasty is much richer and more robust, and traditions that existed are brought to the fore. So too here, if we turn to Divrei Hayamim Bet, after the description of what happened during the time of Ahaz. And if you remember, during the time of Ahaz, as we saw, Ahaz turned to an alliance with Assyria, and so much so that he was helped by Assyria. And at that point, the Bible tells us that after Assyria helped him and destroyed Aram and also the, you know, the whatchamacallit, the northern threat. So first of all, he gave he gave him a lot of money. He gave him money from the Beit HaMikdash. And then later on, the Bible had explored and told us about the fact that our good friend Achaz cut off, he did all those things to Vayesof Achaz at Kli Beit Elohim, Vayikatzeitz at Kli Beit Elohim. He gathered all the kelim, all the utensils in the Beit HaMikdash. He destroyed the utensils in the Beit HaMikdash. Vayizgor et daltot Beit Hashem. He closed the Beit HaMikdash. Vayaslo mizbechot b'chol pino b'Yerushalayim. So, in a certain sense, Achaz is, you know, doing all these things, and he's basically undermining the uniqueness of Jerusalem. Now, when his son Chizkiyahu becomes king, so some of the Divrei Yamim describes to us some of the things he does. I'm going to do it quickly, but Chizkiyahu gathers together in his very first year, he gathers together the Kohanim, and he says, "Atahid katshu v'katshu et Beit Hashem lokei avotechem v'otziu et hanida min hakodesh," which the nida here refers is a euphemism for the Avodah Zarah. Kimalu avotenu v'asu ara. He's basically turning back everything that had been done by his father. Gam sagru dalto ta'ulam v'ichabu etaniro tuktorit lo hiktiru. And basically, he reverses that. He reverses all of that, and he gets the Levim and the Kohanim to basically litaher. Vayavoa konim lifnina beit Hashem litaher to purify. Vayutzu et kol hamtum'a, all the Avodah Zarah that they found, and they take it down to Nachal Kidron, and they get rid of it, and they, in effect, clean out the Beit HaMikdash. And they do a ceremony of rededication of the Mikdash. And they set up the Levi'im and the Shira and all the various different things in the Beit HaMikdash. In the next chapter, we have the famous event of Vayishlach Chizkiyahu al Kol Yisrael v'Yudah. This proves what I mentioned last week, that there were still remnants of people from the northern tribes who remained in Ephraim and Menasheh and were able to stay. Maybe they were the very poor, but they remained in the northern areas. And he sends them Lavo LeBeit Hashem. He wants to unify the Jewish people again. The remnants of the 10 tribes, besides the 30,000 that have been exiled into Assyria, the tens of thousands who probably fled to Judah, the couple of thousands, who knows, who fled to Egypt and other places. But the remnants who are, he says, I want you to join us as well. Lasod Pesach LeHashem. Now, to make a Pesach, of course, is a very significant thing. To make Pesach is, of course, the first national mitzvah that the Jewish people did together as a people. It represents peoplehood. It represents coming together. That's why there are only two mitzvot, I say, there are only two biblical positive commandments where if you don't do it, you're cut off from the people. One is Brit Milah, when a man doesn't do the Brit Milah, the circumcision, which is a sign of the covenant, you're saying that you're outside of the family of Israel, so you're cut off, you get karet. And so too, if you don't do Pesach willingly and willfully, you get cut off. And here, they decide to do Pesach as a sign of the reaffirmation of the covenantal relationship between God and the Jewish people. And that's exactly what they do here at the very beginning of his reign. So we have here a very detailed picture of our friend Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu is, So Chizkiyahu is a king who, as described in Divrei HaYamim, which supplements what we saw in Malachim, in the book of Kings, where, Here in the book of Kings, he gets rid of the Bamot, he destroys the Matzevot, he cuts off the Asherah, he destroys the Avodah Zarah. And all of this is together with what's described in the book of Chronicles, that he makes a Pesach and tries to bring together all of the Jews. He reinvigorates the Beit HaMikdash. He reinvigorates the Beit HaMikdash. All of this is, you know, presenting to us a sharp contrast to Ahaz. Ahaz was a king who didn't trust in God, even though Isaiah told him to believe in God and not to get involved and not to become an ally of Assyria. He decides to become an ally of Assyria. He becomes subservient to Assyria, vassal of Assyria. He becomes enamored with Assyrian religion, which he introduces into the Mizbeach that he builds in Jerusalem that replaces the Beit HaMikdash. He closes the Beit HaMikdash down, basically. And so our good friend Chizkiyahu is the exact opposite. He is the anti-Ahaz. And the Bible summarizes that in this beautiful way. Vahashem Elohe Yisrael Batach. He trusted in the Lord Israel, as opposed to Ahaz, who trusted in Assyria. Ve'acharav lo ya kamo b'chol malchei Yisrael v'asher yulufanav. That is a striking statement. Nobody was like him before, and no one was like him afterwards. This is a pretty amazing statement. That's why, for example, in the rabbinic tradition, Chizkiyahu was someone who had the potential to be the Messiah. In fact, there are some rabbis who even have this amazing statement where they say the Jewish people will not get a Messiah, a personal Messiah anymore, because they already got it in the time of Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu is associated with all of the messianic prophecies that Isaiah gave about, you know, in chapter 11 of Isaiah and other places. This was the vision that Chizkiyahu had the potential to become. So he's Bahashem Elohe Yisrael Batach, Vaidbak Bahashem, he cleaved unto God, Losar Me'acharav, Vaishmor Mitzvotav, Asher Tziva Hashem et Moshe. So he becomes a kind of figure, a kind of second Moses, Vehaya Hashem Imo B'chol Asher Yetzei Yatzliach. And then the Bible drops this little bomb, Vayimrod B'melech Ashur, V'lo Avado. Remember that when his father died, his father had turned Judah into a vassal state of Assyria. He had paid him off, and ostensibly that was going to continue. And in the first years of Chizkiyahu's reign, he did not tamper with that because he probably felt he wanted to work on the internal issues of the religious revival in Judaism, which was the beginning of turning its back on being a vassal of Assyria. Because when you stop practicing the religion of Assyria, when you reopen the Beit HaMikdash, that is a kind of sign, it's a statement of independence, religious, national, political independence that you're starting to affirm. You know, it's like in some countries, you start to speak the language, the ancient language that was repressed. So too here is a kind of return to your national, religious, political roots. And at some point, the Bible tells us, Vayimrod b'melech Ashur v'lo avado. Why did he choose to rebel? Which probably means in biblical terms, he stopped paying the large tax and large tribute that was forced upon him. And that's what many people believe, on the extra biblical sources, it's probably the case that, during this time, we know from the extra biblical sources that at some point, the king, we had just again, just to keep the names floating around in our head. The king who attacks Assyria, if you go back to chapter 17, if we go back to chapter 17 for a second, so the Bible tells us that Vayal Melech Ashur, right? And just to make it even, I think we have to go back one more perek. So in chapter, Vayishlach Achaz Malachim El Tiglat Pileser Melech Ashur Lemor Avdecha Ubincha Ani. Achaz had already established his vassalhood during the time of our good friend Tiglat Pileser. Come and help me, and from the northern tribes. And he established all these different things. Okay? In chapter 17, the Bible tells us that Bishnat Shtem Esrei L'Achaz Melech Yehuda Malach Hoshe Ben Eila Teisha Shanim Vayasa Rabbi Hashem, etc., etc. Allah Alav Shalmaneser. By this time, there's a new king. His name is Shalmaneser Melech Ashur. Vayhi lo Hoshea Eved Vayashav lo Mincha Vayimtza Melech Ashur Bahoshea Kesher, which we talked about last week, that he decides, the northern king decides to make an alliance with the Egyptians, etc., etc. And he is, of course, and it comes and is destroyed. It's interesting that even though the text tells us that Allah alav shalman eser, when we actually get to chapter 18, when the Bible actually describes Vayhi Bishnat Shalosh Shalosh Ben Elam Melach Hizkiyahu, etc., etc., the text tells us, I think, yeah, the text, I'm sorry, I'm going back and forth here. So Shalmaneser is mentioned at the beginning here too. Vayhi Bishana HaRevi'it LaMelech Hizkiyahu, He HaShana HaShvi'it LoShea Ben Eila, Allah Shalmaneser Melech Ashur Al Shomron. So it starts with Shalmaneser. But we know from the extra biblical materials that Shalmaneser dies basically right before the capture of Shomron, and it is completed by Sargon. And he's the one who actually finishes. Okay? And this is what the Bible tells us. And he tells us that, you know, Vayhi Bishna HaRevi'it, LaMelech Hizkiyahu, Yashana HaShvi'it, LoShea Ben Eila, Melech Yisrael, Allah Shalmaneser. Again, and I want to explain, I think, just when the Bible says Vahayai Hashem Imo B'chol, Vayimrod Melech Ashur V'lo Avado, this is a heading. It's not that he did it right at the beginning of his rule. The Bible is going to explicate how that played out. Here they're just kind of introducing us to Chizkiyahu. He was a very righteous king. He got rid of all the Avodah Zarah. He got rid of all the Bamot. He even got rid of the Nechash HaNechoshet. Vashem Elohi Yisrael Batach. In contrast to Achaz, he trusted and had faith in God. And he didn't leave God. And God was with him. Vayimrod, at some point, B'melech Ashur V'lo Avado. Hu hikad plishtim ad Aza ve'et gvuleha. So he was successful in battle, and so he had taken away the threat of the Plishtim at some point during his reign. Now we actually are going to explicate how that all played itself out. And that's what the rest of the chapter is about. Vayil Kiduha. This is in the fourth year. The fourth year of Chizkiyahu. Vayil Kiduha. Mikzei Shalosh Shanim Bishnat Sheish L'Chizkiyahu. In the sixth year of Chizkiyahu. Hishnat Teisha L'Hoshea Melchashah. Nilkida Shomron. Shomron was captured. Vayagel Melchashor Yisrael Ashura. And he set them up, as we learned about in chapter 17. Al Asher Lo Shamu B'Kol Hashem Eloheim. Again, In contrast to, we talked about last week, the double explanation in Tanakh. Was it a political reason why they rebelled and therefore they suffered? Or was it because, as the text here makes a very clear religious statement, as it does in chapter 17 as well, Al asher lo shamu b'kol Hashem levavru et brito, et kol asher tziva Moshe eved Hashem v'lo shamu v'lo asau. In contrast to Chizkiyahu, who followed Vayishmor mitzvot asher tziva Hashem et Moshe, the people of Shomron, and especially the Melech of Shomron, Al asher lo shamu b'kol Hashem Eloheim, v'yavru et brito, instead of keeping the Brit, instead and following the Brit, and being like Moshe, here, v'yavru et brito, v'chol asher tziva Moshe eved Hashem, v'lo shamu v'lo asu. Now we get to the actual story for what actually played itself out. Uba'arba Yisrael l'melech Chizkiyahu alasan cheirev melech Ashur al kol arei Yudah habitzurot vayit fesein. So from year 4 to year 14, what happened? So what happened between year 4 and year 14? So Chizkiyahu is king. He's trying to unify whatever remnants of the northern tribes are around. From the annals of the Syrian kings, we know that a number of years after Sargon actually captured northern tribes of Israel and exiled them, Sargon dies in battle. And this is, in the context of the death of Sargon, the historical annals of Assyria tell us that rebellions broke out in different parts of the Assyrian Empire. In Babylonia, there's a king who's called in Tanakh Merodach Baladan, or Berodach Baladan. Babel rears its head for the first time as a serious threat to Assyria, and they're threatened from the east. We know that in the west, we know from the annals, and we know from Tanakh, that Egypt is someone who the Jewish people make treaties with and want to rely on. Okay? And probably Judah allied itself at that time with Egypt. In fact, Yeshayahu was not too happy about that. In fact, if we look in the book of Isaiah, chapter 30, for example, you have a whole series of prophecies which talk about it. Hoy banim sorim num Hashem lasot etza velo mini. They go take counsel, but they don't ask me. Haholchim laredet Mitzrayim. There are people who go down to Egypt to ask for help against Assyria. Ufi lo shalu. La'oz b'ma'oz paro v'lachsot b'tzel Mitzrayim. So there are definitely factions, and maybe Chizkiyahu himself at one point, who look to Egypt as the great, Egypt is going to be the great, the great savior. And so that's the context, maybe what encouraged rebellion from the Assyrian Empire. The fact that Israel controls now the Philistine territory, Huikat Plishtim at Aza, the fact that Chizkiyahu has under his control this territory, maybe that also gave him another sense that they had, they had room, they had allies, they had weaponry, they had men that they can conscript into their army. And so the text tells us that In the 14th year, Chizkiyahu, obviously, had shirked off whatever remaining vassalhood had been, under whatever vassalhood he had retained to be under the thumb of Assyria. He obviously shook off, and that's why the Bible introduces here, Vayimrod b'melech Ashur. He rebelled against the authority of Ashur. He gathered and he captured all of the Arim Bitsurot, including Lachish. Lachish was a very, very important city in the, in what we call Yehuda. It was an extremely important thing. We know, of course, from extra biblical sources that Assyria was extremely successful in destroying all of this territory, coming down, swooping down, destroying many, many of the cities in Judah, and he grabbed them. And in fact, as we know, one of the most famous archaeological discoveries was the prism, the Sancheirev prism, where he describes coming. Let's try to find it here. Sennacherib's prism against, Hizkiyahu. Right, so we have the prism, right? So just right. Let's see if we can find the text. Actually, just the simple text of the Taylor prism. The Taylor prism. Right, this is what it looks like. It's very famous, and it describes the siege of Jerusalem during the time of Chizkiyahu. Let's see if we can do this. Let's see the text of Taylor's prism, Sennacherib. Okay, the prism. Let's see what it looks like here. So I mentioned this king. And let's see if we can find where he talks about our good friend Chizkiyahu. Yeah, here. Yeah, that's about Chizkiyahu here, but find it. Text. Talks about. Yeah, here it is. Hadi, this is the king of whoever that is, of what was it, Ashkelon, somebody. I brought out of Jerusalem, set him on royal throne, and imposed upon him my kingly. As for Chizkiyahu the Jew, who did not submit to my yoke, 46 of his strong walled cities, that's what it says in Tanakh, Arim Bitsurot, as well as the small cities in the neighborhood, which without number, by leveling with battering rams and by bringing up siege engines, by attacking by mines, tunnels, I besieged and took these cities. 200,000 people, great and small, male and female, I brought away from them and counted as spoil. It's a very exaggerated number. It could be that this is the total
of all the wars that Assyria, did against both the northern tribes and the southern tribes. Who knows? But it's a very exaggerated number. I brought away from them and counted as spoil himself, meaning Chizkiyahu, like a caged bird, I shut up in Jerusalem, his royal city. Earthworks I threw up against him, the one coming out of the city gate. I turned back to his misery. The cities of his which I had despoiled, I cut off from his land, etc., etc. So this is the famous mention of Chizkiyahu and his 47 strong walled cities, which in Tanakh is exactly what it says here. Allah sancheir melech Ashur al kol areya yudota bitzurot, the fortified cities, vayit v'seim. Vayishlach Chizkiyahu melech Yudah melech Ashur lachisha lemor. So the first stage is the stage of Chizkiyahu giving, trying to appease, and maybe trying to limit the damage. Vayishlach Chizkiyahu melech Yudah melech Ashur lachisha lemor. Chatati, shuv me'alai, et asher titen alai esa. Vayasa melech Ashur al Chizkiyahu melech Yudah, shlosh me'od kikar kesef. He puts upon him a tremendous tax, a tremendous burden, a tremendous tribute. Vayitein Chizkiyahu et kol hakesef hanimtza beit Hashem ubeotzrot beit HaMelech. Ba'etahi kitzatz Chizkiyahu dalto trichal Hashem. He has to cut off the new, not so new already, it's a decade old, more than a decade old, all the new fancy gold that he had installed in the Beit HaMikdash, he has to give up. Vayitneim lemelech Ashur. It's clear, and again, from the annals of Chizkiyah, from the annals of Sancheirev, the prism of Sancheirev, that this was not enough. And that clearly the tribute did not suffice, either because Sancheirev, either because they only paid it. Can you do control F? What does control F do? Let's see. Then I do control F. I don't know what that does. Okay. So clearly that was not enough. And so we have here the famous continuation of the siege. Vayishlach melech Ashur et Tartan. These are not the names of people. These are the titles. The Tartan, the Rav Saris, and the Rav Shakeh. We have these people who are sent, these high officials. Probably the Tartan is a military official. The Rav Saris, the head eunuch, right? The Sarisim. Hamishartim et Pnei HaMelech, the eunuchs who were there. Et Rav Shakeh. Rav Shakeh is similar. It's a Hebrewized version of something like the Sar HaMashkim, right? Which maybe started as an actual butler, but by the time it's a Gilgul, it becomes an important official in the community. Vayishlach melech Ashur et Tartan vet Rav Saris vet Rav Shakeh min lachish melech Chizkiyahu b'chel kaved Yushalayim. Obviously a threat. Vayalu vayavo Yushalayim vayalu vayavo v'yamdu b'talat ha-brecha al-yona asher v'misilat zdei koveis. And they come and they meet with Chizkiyahu in the te'alat ha-brecha al-yona asher v'misilat zdei koveis. They meet him at the reservoir. B'te'alat ha-brecha al-yona, the upper pool. This is the same place which in the book of Isaiah, the Bible tells us that Chizkiyahu's father had met with Yishayahu in that first time that they were being squeezed decades beforehand in chapter 7. In that time when Aram and Ephraim were attacking, so the Bible says, Vayomar Hashem al Yishayahu, Tseina likrat Achaz, Ata Ushar Yishu Benecha, El Ktzei Te'alat HaBrecha El Yona, El Mesilat Zdei Koveis, Ve'amarta Eilav, Hishamer, Ve'ashket, Al Tira, don't get involved, stay out of it, stay neutral, trust in God, don't make alliances, all those things. And here, in a kind of play, decades later, his son, Chizkiyahu, is confronted in the very same place, not by a prophet, but by the enemies. And they come and they deliver a message. Also remember, one of the reasons why they might have been at the upper pool, Chizkiyahu is preparing for battle. One of the things that you do when you prepare for battle, of course, is you make sure that you have water. You have access to water. So that if you have siege, you'll be able to last. And then, of course, is the famous Chizkiyahu's tunnel. This may be a hint to that he was preparing somehow to make sure that the reservoir of water, the pool that collected the water, which they used for drinking, but probably also for laundry, stechoves, kvisa, was also available. And maybe they dafka meet him there to say, don't think that you're going to be able to outlast the siege. Vayikru el hamelech, vayetzelem el yakim ben chilkiyahu asher al habayit. They go, the officials. So we have El Yakim representing Judah. Veshevna hasofer, v'yoach, vayomer alehem Rav Shake. We now have Rav Shake. This text is a carbon copy of what we find in the book of Isaiah in chapter 36 and 37 in Isaiah. We basically have here two speeches of the Rav Shake. Let's read the speeches. Let's go and notice, of course, the specific threats that the Rav Shake uses, the language he uses, and what's going on. Vayomer lehem Rav Shake, Imruna el Chizkiyahu. Notice, in contrast to the objective presentation of Hamelech Chizkiyahu, Vayikru el Hamelech. They call to the king. When they actually start speaking, they say, Imruna el Chizkiyahu. He loses his title. In their eyes, he is no longer worthy of respect. Again, there's very little diplomacy here. There's a breach of diplomatic etiquette. The Tartan and the Rav Saris, and specifically the Rav Shake, turn and say, Imruna, you shall be the messengers and say to Chizkiyahu, Ko amar ha-melech ha-gadol, melech ha-shur. In contrast to Chizkiyahu, he's the Melech HaGadol. So said the great king, meaning our king, Assyria, Ashur, Sanherib, he's the great king, and you guys just have Chizkiyahu. And what should you say to him? Ma bitachon azeh asher batachta. That's the key word here. It's repeated 7 times in the first speech. What is this bitachon asher batachta? Amarta achdvar svataim etzau gvurala milchama. Did you think that, you know, simply saying words is going to help you in war? Ata almi batachta ki maradata bi, that you have rebelled against me. So far, 1, 2, 3. Ata hine batachta, 4. Al mishenet kanei ratzutz hazeh, on this flimsy reed, Mitzrayim, Egypt, asher yisamechi shalav uba b'chapon, which is like a reed that you press on it, it bends and it pricks you. It pricks uba b'chapo unikava, and it comes into your palm and it gives you a nekev, it gives you a hole. Kein paro melech Mitzrayim l'chol habotchim bo. 5th time. V'chitomrun elai, the second argument. V'chitomrun elai el Hashem Elokeinu batachnu. We're trusting in God. Hello, who asher heisir Chizkiyahu bamotav et mizbechotav? It's a great twist, psychological argument. They say, but Chizkiyahu got rid of the gods of Assyria, and he got rid of the bamot, which was where all the people were worshiping God. And so you've taken away in their mechanistic conception of religion and of Avodah Zarah, Chizkiyahu has hurt your campaign, because he's taken away appeasement of your own God. Because by destroying the Bamot, you've basically, now there are less korbanot being given to the God, and therefore he's angry. Halohu asheri sir chizkeot permatovim v'chotav v'yomer liyudav yishlaim lifnei mizbeach hazet ishtachavu b'yushalayim. And he said, oh, you only can go to this place in Jerusalem. That's number two. And number three, he says, ve'ata hitarevna. He says, basically, in our language, we would say, I'll make a bet. Hitarevna et aduni et melech Ashur ve'etnalecha alpaim susim. I'll give you 200 horses im tuchal letet lecha ruchvim aleihem. Meaning, are you going to rely on your own soldiers? You don't have soldiers. You don't have enough. Ve'ech tashiv et pnei pachat achad avdei aduni haktanim. Va'tiftach lecha al Mitzrayim. Did you think that you could rely on Egypt, etc. So, ata ham, and finally, hamil biladei Hashem. If not for God Himself, aliti al makom azel hashkito. Hashem amar elai aleil haaretz azot vashkita. I am fulfilling a divine mandate. Now, again, as I said, the key word here seven times is bitachon. Al mi batachta one. Two, three, four, five, I skipped some here. And of course, yeah, because the seventh one is, of course, in contrast, when we started at the beginning, we were told who, in fact, is Boteach Bahashem. It's Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu is described as Bahashem Elohe Yisrael Batach. That's the key word. He was Boteach Bahashem. But these guys are coming and challenging and saying, what are you being Boteach? What are you being Boteach? Right? Ma bitachon azeh asher batachta? One, two. Atahine batachta? Three. Al Mitzrayim? Four. Five. You're the one who took away this, etc., etc. Ve'ech tashiv vatiftach lecha al Mitzrayim. Okay? So that's the end of the first speech. Seven times in this section we have the word bitachon. The second, there's an intermission between the first and the second speech with the reaction of the people, of the Jewish representatives. Basically, they say, speak to us in Aramaic, which basically is a statement of, that's the diplomatic language. We don't want the people to be demoralized. We don't want the people to hear all this. And of course, they mock and taunt them. The people, the grunt soldiers who are on the wall. Which of course is exactly what he was sent to, but now they taunt and they say, you think we care about Chizkiyahu? We're actually at this stage, in the second stage, we're going to talk. No, we're not going to talk in Aramaic that they don't understand or whatever. Aramit here probably means something like Assyrian or Akkadian. We're going to talk in the language that the grunts understand so that they understand what they're getting themselves into. We've been sent to the Anashim, Hayoshim al-Achoma, the people who are the grunts, the people who are going to end up lechol et soatam, the people who are going to end up having no food and they're going to have to eat their excrement, v'lishtot et meimei ragleihem imachem, and the people are going to have to drink their urine. Vayamod Rav Shaked vayikra b'kol gadol yehudit. He calls out in a very high, loud voice in Hebrew. Vayomer, Vaydaber Vayomer, Shim'u Dvar HaMelech HaGadol Melech Ashur. Komar HaMelech. Again, total disdain for Chizkiyahu, no mention of his title. Al Yashi Lachem Chizkiyahu. Don't let Chizkiyahu deceive you. Kilo yuchal lahatzil etchem yado. This time, the second speech, the key word throughout the second speech is the speech, is the word lehatzil. Who can save you? Who can not save you? Va'al yavtach etchem chizkiyahu el Hashem leimor. Hatzel yatzilenu Hashem. V'lo tinatein et ha'ir hazot biyad melech Ashur. Lehatzil etchem yado. Hatzel al tishmol chizkiyahu. Don't listen to chizkiyahu. Ki cho amar melech Ashur. Asu iti bracha. Come and make a bracha, which is basically means make a treaty, surrender with me. Utsu elai v'ichlu ish kafno v'ish te'enato ushtu ish meivoro, and then you'll be able to have food. You won't suffer under the growing siege. You'll sit under ish kafno v'ish te'enato, which of course is a reference in Tanakh. It has only one reference. If you go back, Tanachim Nikud, if we go back to the book of Kings 1, this is a specific reference, if I'm not mistaken, to chapter 4, where the Bible says, in the time of Shlomo, Vayeshev Yisrael Yudah Labetach, Bitachon, security, Ish Tachad Gafno, V'tachad Teinato, Midan Vad Bersheva, Kol Yimei Shlomo. The last time that this was this kind of idyllic was at the in the beginning of the time of King Solomon, where they were able to sit under their tree and under their fig tree. Of course, we all know that George Washington, in his famous letter to the Jewish community, used that image as well. And he says, but they say, again, Vayamot, I'm such. Vayikra b'kol gadol v'yidabrelim. Shimuna dvar melech hagadol melech ashur. Komar ha-melech, al yashi lachem chizkiyahu. Don't be deceived, or don't be duped by the words of chizkiyahu. Ki lo yuchal atzil etchem miyado. Va'al yavtach etchem chizkiyahu l'Hashem. That's the seventh time. I'm sorry. That's the seventh time the word bitachon is used in the speeches of Rav Shakei. And don't trust chizkiyahu, who says about God, Hatzel Yatzilenu Hashem. Notice in the second speech, he takes the gloves off and he actually blasphemes the power of God. Beforehand, he didn't blaspheme the power of God. He said, you rely on, what are you relying on? Chizkiyahu? What are you relying on? Your own power? What are you relying on Egypt? What do you think God is going to come? You rebelled against God because you stopped offering korbanot in the bamot to God. This time, he takes a swipe directly. He says, rather come out, I skipped this pasuk. Ad boi, ichlu ish gafnov ish teinato. Ad boi vilakachti etchem el eretz ka'artzechem. I will take you, again, playing off of the Exodus theme. I will take you out of this land. El eretz ka'artzechem, eretz dagan v'tirosh, eretz lechem u'kramim, eretz zeit yitzar u'dvash, v'chyu v'lo tamutu. V'al tishmol chizkeo ki asit etchem leimor Hashem yatzileinu. Don't trust that God will save you. Hahatzel hitzilu Eloheya hahagoyim ishet artzo. Did the gods of all the various countries, did they save from Ashur? As Ashur came down the Middle East, it took over all these various cities which were in Turkey, in Iraq, and in Turkey, and in Lebanon, and in Syria of today. Aye Elohei Chamat ve'Arpad. Aye Elohei Sfarvaim Heina ve'Iva. Ki hitzilu et Shomron. Did God save Shomron miyadi? Mi b'chol Elohei Aratzot asher hitzilu et Artzam miyadi. Ki atzil Hashem et Yerushalayim miyadi. You think God is going to save Jerusalem? Again, the key word, lahatzil. So, who do you trust? And who do you think is going to save you? Hahatzel hitzilu? Vehecherishu ha'am. The people were silent. V'lo anu oto davar. Ki mitzvat ha'melech leimor lo ta'anuhu. V'yavo el yakim ben chilkiyahu sholabai. V'shem na'asofir. V'yoch ben asav. El chizkiyahu kreib gadim. V'yagidu lo divrei rav shakeh. Okay, Emir Tzashem, next week we will continue. Let me close my share screen. We will stop sharing. We will continue Emir Tzashem this whole story, and we'll try. Oh, you may be able to show control. Okay, thank you. Yes, now I understand. We will we'll continue. Just a little change. I thought originally that I wasn't going to teach on the Wednesday right after Pesach, but I am going to be teaching on the Wednesday night right after Pesach. So Pesach ends Tuesday, and Wednesday night we'll have a class. Our goal is to, as I said, to finish Malachim Bet. So after tonight, we have six more sessions, which should lead us to be able to finish what we need. One perek a session, we will finish Im Yirtzeh Hashem Malachim Bet before we reach Shavuot HaBaleinu Lutova. Have a wonderful Chag Kasher V'Sameach. Everyone should be healthy. Again, our thoughts are with Israel, and hope that everything is litova. And of course, we have in our hearts, our minds, the hostages who are still, in the hellhole in Hamas, and they should be redeemed. V'hotzeiti v'hitzalti v'ga'alti v'lakachti v'heveiti, that they should experience that. Amen.
Amen.
Good night, everybody.
Chag Sameach. Thank you. Have a good night.
Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach.